Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are things?
Things are great.
Usual level of frazzledness?
I'm not frazzled. I'm energetic.
Oh, that's how you spin it? Good.
You're mistaking the two. Definitely. I get a lot done, put it that way.
There's no doubt. No doubt.
Multitasker. We have some great guests this morning, Lee. It is National Volunteerism Month. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, actually, until you sent me the notes.
Exactly. You know, you need to volunteer more this month.
I do.
In the community, at home. I think emptying the dishwasher might be a nice volunteer act at home.
Is that mm-hmm. good enough?
Ask your wife. We have Kate Lee this morning, formerly the manager of community affairs at Home Depot, and now she provides consulting in community and public affairs for a small to mid-sized company. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Kate.
Hey, thanks, Amy. I appreciate it.
We've also got another guest that I think the two of you play off each other very well. When you're talking about major corporations and what they give back to the community, Katie Elder is the manager of employee volunteer programs at Home Depot Foundation.
Hi there. Good morning.
Welcome, Katie. So, Kate, define your role a little bit. When you go into a company, what is something that you look at as far as how a company gives back to the community? Is it as far as a donation or is it service?
Actually, I look at both and even one more aspect of sponsorships. A lot of companies, you know, you're constantly asked to give something, whether it's straight money, a product donation if, say, a school is doing an auction and wants something, or you're being asked to run an event for someone and then, you know, provide the people to work it. And, you know, Katie will talk later about volunteerism in that aspect for corporations. What I really try and do is sit down with those companies and say, rather than treating your philanthropy as a piggy bank and you're just giving away money, try and do it more strategically so that what you do brings value back to you but also increases the value that the recipient, the nonprofit, or your community is receiving.
So really trying to make the sponsorship or the philanthropy strategy a win-win?
Exactly.
And how do you go about that? I mean, what's your philosophy on donations like versus sponsorships, or is it independent of the company?
It really depends on each company and their situation. You could even say it goes as far as saying what's going on in that marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Since you know Home Depot is an easy example to pick on, you know they have a great strategy with their donations. They tie it to organizations that build, rebuild, or maintain properties, because what, after all, what's Home Depot known for? It's the rebuilding, remodeling company for do-it-yourselfers. Lowe's has something very similar. They're more focused on working with Habitat's Women Build Project because they're trying to attract women mm-hmm. into their stores to be the remodelers. And then lastly, you could look in the same set of retail market and say, Home Improvement, well, where's Ace Hardware? They don't really have a unified strategy. Part of that's because they're really a franchise-type situation, and each Ace Hardware is different. But they could, at the overall, come up with a strategy, say, senior citizens, you know, let's help seniors stay in their home by teaching them how to make their home senior-proof, putting in bars in the shower and tubs or better lighting, things like that. So it would depend on each situation, and then trying to find ways that you take what dollars and capabilities you have, whether it's the volunteers or money, to make the most of it.
I would imagine a lot of times a company's charitable giving is very fragmented. Can you address that? I mean, how do people focus?
I think you're being kind by saying very fragmented. Quite honestly, it also depends. If you look at a law firm or an accounting firm, the partners traditionally control that donation budget, and they may give it to organizations that they are comfortable with or that their families have been involved with, which may not have anything to do with furthering the business,
mm-hmm.
Where they might go instead looking at it strategically and say, a portion of our budget will continue to be used for things that the partners are interested in or where they sit on a board, but a larger portion will be used to address pursuing the firm as a good citizen, which may mean that they need to engage the lower level employees in volunteerism at specific organizations that they support financially.
When you're consulting with a corporation, do you like to work with people that already have some existing plan or ones that you're starting from scratch?
It's easier to start from scratch in some ways because you're talking about coming up with something they haven't done, and the acceptance is easier. sometimes it's harder to convince them that they really want to make that expenditure after they thought they did. Working with an established philanthropy program can be easier because they already have a mentality of doing, mm-hmm. but they're also tied to their prior giving patterns.
When a company decides, yeah, I want to get into this, is this something where they have to budget like lots of money, or can they budget just like, we want to do this as a company and we're going to just give our time, where there's not like an outlay of cash per se, but there's an outlay of their employees' time?
They can do both, and I think Katie may be better placed to talk about companies working with their employees and time. Working with a budget, most companies will come in with either we're going to give a set dollar amount, or we're going to, like Target stores gives a percentage of everything. And then they divvy it up across the areas that they feel are most important to their communities, which tend to be education.
Katie, can you address that?
Sure. When it comes to money, I'm sure that our nonprofit partners would really enjoy donations in different amounts, whether it's cash or in-kind products. But there's so many things that employees can do without having to give a donation if they're giving up their time. There's a good trend in volunteerism these days. It's called skills-based. And you can take, you know, the old-fashioned thought of pro bono work, which is in the legal or accounting companies, providing services for free to those nonprofits, but you can actually expand upon that and think of your entire employee base and the skills that they can offer. Your HR folks can do a employee fair for the nonprofits, or maybe the parts of the community who could use some extra job resources or help in that way. Even I've seen or heard of fashion shows that they can share with maybe the homeless in the community and show them how to dress for success. Even your data entry clerks can provide those kind of services to a nonprofit, and that can be of a huge value to those nonprofits. So it doesn't always take a lot of money to do good in the community.
And what are some of the benefits from the employer standpoint outside of, like, how does it bond their employees when they're giving back to the community this way?
It's a huge thing for employee retention and morale building, I would say. If you're working, take for example, a Home Depot project, we do a lot of playground builds with our partner Kaboom. And you can end up on the mulch pile with the top executive and not even realize it. And it feels good to be working alongside an executive who's taken time from his busy day to come out and give back in that way.
Of course, you have to be careful not to end up under the mulch pile, because this pile is huge. I've been on that pile.
I would imagine. But I would imagine, too, people coming together to do something good for society and for a nonprofit, it builds morale. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. It definitely does. I really do think I have the best job at Home Depot and the Home Depot Foundation. Once you've done a project and you can step back and see the transformation that you've left behind, whether it's you've painted a mural in the cafeteria, something that simple, you really do feel good when you see the kids come by and they're energetic and excited about the work that you've done. It is very rewarding, and it can absolutely improve morale.
And really capitalizing on the employees' talents and what they have to offer. You know, it's very unique, like you said, about offering HR or HR fairs to non-for-profits. That's a really interesting concept.
It is. Like I said, it's one of the biggest trends in volunteerism these days. And you can think outside of those ordinary terms of pro bono work, but even, you know, your marketing team. What if a nonprofit really could help or needs help developing a marketing plan or fundraising? There are so many skills that your employees may have that they're not even using in their day jobs that could provide services to those nonprofits.
So, Kate, how would you say that philanthropy helps the bottom line of a company?
Well, in part, it goes back to that being the good citizen. If people respect you because you do things for their community, they are much more loyal to come to your store or to seek out your products when they're shopping or to recommend you. If you're looking at Georgia Power, you know, let's be honest, you're not going to really have alternatives to buying your electricity from anywhere else if you sit in Metro Atlanta. But yet, Georgia Power makes a very concerted effort to be involved in the community and to make some substantial donations because they know good goes around. They will be able to hire better employees because they focus on education initiatives. They will be there in times of need, and the community feels very good about them. And maybe when they go to the PSC for a rate increase, people won't complain. You know, it's a two-way street, obviously.
How do you balance, doing good and but you don't want to be like bragging about it, you know, because I didn't know about the Home Depot Playground program at all. And you know, you want to people to know you're doing this, but you don't want it to seem like you're doing this so people know that you're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% say that we don't do it for the press and the media. It's a wonderful benefit of doing good in the community. We have a great PR team that helps us, you know, be selective about when we put out press releases and things like that. But you're absolutely right. It's a great benefit, and we do have a great reputation in the community because of all the great works that we do.
And quite honestly, they spend a lot of effort telling the community partner, whether it's the local school or the homeless shelter that's getting the playground, we want you to publicize that you are getting this for the community. You can put Home Depot's name in there, but that's not the story. The story is the community's getting a new asset.
Right, that they're coming together. And
right,
and
but like you mentioned Target, like you go into a Target and they got a big sign that says this is how many dollars that each of these schools in the area have gotten and this is how much money that this store has given back. I mean, they're more out
there. They are, definitely. They are. You can see that sign every time you leave a
right.
Target store. And we're not quite as boastful, I would say, but they have a lot of great assets to give to the community. So, you know, when we focus in on our employees' time, not necessarily cash donations,
right.
So that we can't have as big of a sign.
So when you talk about volunteerism versus donations versus sponsorship, it sounds like it's a whole lot of work for someone to do within a company. Do people have to actually hire someone or... How does that work, Kate?
You know, a lot of it depends on what sort of program you actually implement. If you're looking at a strictly donations and you're not going to try and implement a volunteerism program, you may be able to handle it through maybe an HR or marketing department and assigning someone to do this maybe as a part-time role in their job. If you look at it as development of your business, making sure you have good community relations, good government relations, it may be more important and you may assign it a full-time position. And if you're a large company and you plan to do a lot of volunteerism, you probably need someone to coordinate and act as intake, manage projects. And, you know, Katie's probably, she won't tell you this, but she's one of the best trainers of volunteers that I've ever met, and I've been involved with a lot of companies doing this. She's got a workforce of over 330,000 some people.
Wow.
And a majority of those volunteer every year, and a certain proportion of those have been trained to lead projects. So that basically she says, do 3 projects a year and let me know how they go.
Hmm.
You know, and here's your materials budget. Go do.
Right, absolutely.
Is that part of the leadership path at Home Depot? I mean, how do you divvy up the volunteerism and the projects within that huge base of employees?
We have a great structure, actually. I manage it from sort of the strategy, procedures, process side here in Atlanta in our headquarters. But at every store, there's a Team Depot captain, and they're responsible for doing local volunteer projects. So if partnerships come in through the Home Depot Foundation that require volunteer activation, I can turn to our field team or then those store captains and say, here's a community center. We really need to reach out to them and do a project there. They've got their training manual. They know to call for resources if they need it. But really, I let them handle things in that local market because they know what's best for the community. Other companies, I think, they've got volunteer councils that may decide upon what kind of service they're going to do every year. They may even plan out the entire year ahead of time with certain significant holidays. And the volunteer council manages what they're going to do. And then some have a staff at their headquarters that handle the entire thing for the entire company. But we have stores throughout North America and in Canada and in Mexico, and a very strong volunteer program throughout.
Is this something that's a requirement, or is it just encouraged?
It's definitely not a requirement. All of our store associates volunteer on their days off.
Right, but like from the manager of the store, like that team leader, are they required to volunteer, or are they just encouraged?
They are. I would say it's encouraged. It's not a paid position to be the Team Depot captain in any of our stores. It is kind of like that leadership role. The store manager can find someone who really wants to take on extra work, and what great skills they learn from leading volunteer projects, and that could put them, you know, ahead of the game when it comes to promotions, that kind of thing. We definitely want to encourage our folks to volunteer, but it's not a requirement.
Exactly. And to go back to what you asked, Amy, there's also organizations that if you're a smaller company and you don't have the, you know, she used a bad term, the bandwidth or the capability in-house to manage a volunteer project, you can go to the Metro Atlanta Corporate Volunteers Council for ideas on projects that need volunteers, you can go to Hands on Atlanta's website, and they have hundreds of opportunities each month. And you can go in and work with the Hands on Atlanta and say, we want to do this as a team event for our company.
And so that's like where a smaller company can then participate.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Someone's handling kind of the big tasks that are involved, and you're just kind of plugging in where
you're plugging in as a true volunteer. They do the project management and figure out what supplies are needed. They work with, you know, say it's a school that needs some things done. They work with the school to establish what hours that the project can mm-hmm. be worked on, if there's any specific safety requirements that have to be addressed, et cetera. And then lastly, there's also people like me and a few other companies that can manage this as an outsourced program for your company.
Right.
Because you may want to sort of test the waters, especially if you haven't done one before.
Sure.
What's the best way for people to reach you, Kate?
Oh, the easiest is probably email, Kate Lee, all one word, at earthlink.net, which I know, Amy, you're going to be so quick to put up on the website.
Do you have a website?
Not yet. It's actually something I'm learning how to do, and it's driving me nuts.
You need some volunteers.
Exactly.
That's right. We need to get a volunteer.
I need that marketing volunteer from Katie's side.
Perfect example. Katie, give us some examples of projects that you have going on right now within your employee base.
Sure. We have our Kaboom builds. Those are our playground builds that we do in one single day. It takes about 6 weeks of planning. We have more than 50 of those that are going to happen in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico this year. Wow. We have another partnership with Points of Light Hands-On Network, which is the parent organization of Hands-On Atlanta. They have a great schools program. It's called Hands-On Schools. So we go in and provide some of that manual labor magic when schools need refreshing, painting, landscaping, a building and shelves, things like that. And then also this year we also have a great tree planting program with the National Arbor Day Foundation. We'll be going to 10 schools throughout North America and planting large trees, inviting the kids to play a part in it and learn how to plant trees and keep them healthy over the long term. And then, of course, our stores are involved in smaller local projects whenever the time is right for them and they can find a great partner to work with. So we have lots and lots of things going on.
And also, I want to make sure that it's out there that when there's a crisis, like during Katrina and tornadoes, you know, Home Depot is usually one of the first people out there giving of their supplies and their manpower to, you know, kind of solve some big problems where the government's kind of not as responsive.
Yep, absolutely. We did a lot of work over the past few weeks after the tornado swept through Atlanta. I found myself Monday afternoon, so the tornado hit Friday, Monday afternoon with my boss and her boss up on top of a roof, tarping it down so that the neighbor there could weather the next storm that was coming through. It wasn't my most shining moment. I was petrified being up on the roof, but it was a really neat thing to see our volunteers and associates come together to help those neighbors.
I was actually going to prompt Katie to say something about that, because that is something Home Depot is very renowned for, is their disaster recovery relief efforts, but also disaster planning and prevention. They work with the American Red Cross very extensively to train people, your everyday consumer, how to prepare for potentials of tornadoes, flooding, hurricanes.
Yeah, that's big in Florida.
It definitely makes them different in the marketplace. I mean, it makes them stand out that they're able to, you know, help in that capacity and all these social initiatives that we're talking about. Any last thoughts from you, Lee, on this? It's really interesting to me, and I love highlighting the good that people do.
I think this is, internationally, the United States gets kind of a bad rap that we don't give as a government a lot. And I think that we do, as corporations and individuals, give a lot more than we get credit for internationally.
Because it really isn't about the monetary giving always. It's about the time and talent of each of those individual employees and volunteers. Thank you both so much for being on the show. And, Kate, again, give us your contact information one more time, and it will be on the website as well.
Kate Lee, K-A-T-E-L-E-E, at earthlink.net, or you can reach me by cell at 404-626-8118. And I'm taking suggestions for a website URL. You know, katelee.com is taken.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that for you, Kate. But it really is important for corporations, large and small, to reach out to the community in volunteerism efforts and sponsorship that's focused, that maximizes, you know, what their goals are and their core values. I think you have a lot to offer companies, both large and small. Thank you so much for being a guest today. And Katie, thank you. My goodness, you've got a huge job. I appreciate you
and
taking time
out. And that's HomeDepot.com. Is there a website just for you?
We do. It's HomeDepotFoundation.org. And okay, you'll find lots of information about Team Depot, which is our employee volunteer program there.
That's terrific. You know, there's a lot of ways in the community that people use networking and through philanthropy and through volunteerism as a way to grow their business, as a way to make contacts, to gain referrals. And then there's also certain types of companies in the marketplace that will team up with non-for-profits and have a portion of their profit go to that non-for-profit. And a perfect example of that is Plant Makers. It's a company out of St. Petersburg, Florida. And Plant Makers has developed and patented a really interesting concept called Millennium Soil. It's a medium to grow plants, live plants, without dirt, and it's a really unusual concept, Lee. I saw it for the first time in Florida a few years back. Have you changed a baby diaper lately?
Not for 10 years.
But you probably saw, you know, the Huggies have that gel stuff. Yes. If you ever had a opened up a baby diaper. That's kind of what the soil is. At least that's what it reminded me of.
Right.
Yeah. And it really holds and retains water, which is such a key component in right now with the drought in the Atlanta area. And today we have a guest who's coming on to talk about Plant Makers and how a percentage of those profits go back to organizations. So welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Oh, my goodness. I have forgotten your name.
Jim Aiden.
Jim Aiden. Nice. Did you see me? I just drew a complete blank. I'm looking at him going, how about if I just call you honey?
That works with me, Amy. That's fine.
Jim, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Tell us
a little bit
about Plant Makers.
Well, Plant Makers is an interesting organization. They're about 10 years old, and the founder, a gentleman by the name of Craig Van Pelt, discovered how to use a potassium-based molecule about the size of a little pea gravel, and when it's impregnated with water, can swell up and retain that water for great lengths of time. He built a very successful business in the Central Florida area in the hotel and restaurant industry, putting beautiful live plants on tabletops because you can do it without dirt or water, so it's very clean, no spillage, no maintenance, far less cost than cut flowers. And as a business consultant here in Atlanta, through a contact, I got hooked up with Craig to look at ways that we could expand the market for Plant Makers, and it became very obvious that when you have a beautiful plant that doesn't rely on conventional dirt and water, you can now ship that plant very easily anywhere in the United States via FedEx or UPS. So one of the things that we hopped on right away was the need for nonprofits to look for increasing ways, always looking for ways to raise money. And we did some focus studies and found out that the whole, you know, go green, eco-friendly product could be very well accepted versus many of the conventional items, et cetera, that are traditionally used to sell to the public for fundraising. So we wanted to approach something that the fundraising organization could reach out via email or snail mail to their support base, let them know about this opportunity to buy these beautiful plants online and have them delivered without the organization itself having to get involved in order taking, money exchange, delivery. It's very, very simple, very clean. And when you have something that can be bought online and word of mouth on a beautiful planter can be passed on from one friend to the next within families, within companies and offices, the business grows virally, and in essence it becomes a year-round ongoing revenue source for the nonprofit versus traditional, well, we're going to have our big sale, we'll raise money, boom, it's done, how do we do this year? This is designed to, again, to have an ever-growing customer base that buys plants for multiple reasons throughout the year, guaranteeing that nonprofit organization a steady stream of revenue from that source year-round.
So each organization has a custom domain portal that goes into the storefront, is that correct?
That's correct. That's the way we capture, you know, where does this customer come from, which nonprofit is going to benefit. And we pay 25 cents of every dollar of revenue to the organization. So, again, that's a very substantial return for the nonprofit.
So 25% of each transaction goes directly back to the nonprofit.
That's correct. At the end of every month, a check along with the transaction register. And this is important to nonprofits, too, that as their customer base grows virally, we're capturing, you know, vital information on individuals that nonprofit then can grow their contact base for other reasons they might have through plant makers.
So what a win-win situation, too, especially something that's good for the environment and the whole going green.
Well, we think so. And, again, the focus study work that we did indicates that this would be a product of choice given the multitude of things out there, that a live plant in a very eco-friendly environment would be a product of choice.
Do you have any examples of, like, if a school incorporated something like this, you know, how much could they typically raise?
Well, we're real early into it. We think, for example, that we're launching with the Atlantic Catholic Schools this week. The kids will take home 8,000 flyers. We think that out of that, we should generate somewhere between $80,000 and $120,000 first year and easily $200,000 to $250,000 and growing in preceding years.
And that's what they would keep out of that?
Yes, that's correct. That's what
they
would keep.
Wow, that's huge. So it's sort of like Sally Foster or all the other little fundraisers that the schools do, but this can all be done online, so there's no door-to-door sales?
Exactly. The children don't have to go to door-to-door. They don't have to collect the money. They do not have
they
to
They just email the link to their whoever.
All their friends, right. Mom and dads, to their offices, and the whole Go Green thing. And, of course, you go in offices today, you see an awful lot of plants in offices. So we think that the parents will have a big role also in promoting this for the kids' school.
So if people want to look at the things that you have to offer, is there a website?
There is. It will be up. Go Green or plantmakers.atlanta.com will be up this week.
Okay. Could you repeat that?
Yes. GoGreenPlanters.atlanta.com.
Okay, so once that website's up, if somebody is a non-for-profit and looking for an opportunity to partner with you, how would they go about that?
I would have them contact me, and we can go through the steps. It's very, very simple, but I can be reached at jjaconsulting@bellsouth.net. And my office number is 770-640-5455.
So, Jim, this is interesting. This is probably different from anything you've ever done. What is your background?
I've been in sales and marketing my whole career. I retired from Hitachi America. I ran the electron tube division for over 20 years and have done various things, but this is something that I'm really enjoying, and I love it because you are, in essence, you're partnering in helping nonprofits raise money, and it's very, very rewarding.
I would imagine. I mean, what a great feeling you have walking away from being able to help somebody create money in a win-win situation.
And literally any organization that's got a significant supporter base out there is a potential for this because just of the popularity of live plants. We'll be kicking off a program later in the summer as we get closer to football season where we're reaching out to alumni associations to have a coffee mug or something with their school logo or their mascot and be delivered in a box with a nice plant to stick in it.
Mm-hmm. So you could use that as a fundraiser also for that college or
absolutely.
For that high school?
Absolutely. Alumni associations, booster clubs are always looking for revenue sources.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other people you're currently working with?
Well, we've been focusing primarily the last few months on launching through Catholic schools across the nation. We are in some active talks with the American Red Cross right now on a huge program. The college and university alumni associations.
What about environmental groups?
Clearly, we're reaching out to the American Lung Association that's concerned about, you know, clean air environments. So there's many. And so we're really interested to see where this is going to go.
That's exciting. Jim, thanks for being on the show this morning.
Thank you, Amy.
Can you give the website one more time?
Yes, gogreenplanters.atlanta.com.
And, Lee, I think we need to volunteer this month.
You know I will.
You know I always do. There are a lot of volunteer opportunities in the Atlanta area, and we'll have a link on the website as well that you can click on to find out some of the wonderful volunteers opportunities in Atlanta. You know, some of them only really require an hour a month, 2 hours a month.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways in which we can give back. I've been doing the Good Muse.
What's that?
It's a no-kill cat shelter. It's amazing that I come home without a cat every week.
So
that's
you have
my
no
goal.
Cats?
Oh, I have cats already, but I can't bring home more.
So that's what probably happens. All the volunteers bring home the cats.
Well, I go and clean out, 30 litter boxes, and then I come home and love on my own cats. Lee, have a great day, and until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.